now a citizen. We have gotten stronger. All is not lost. Leo is now officially, legally on our side. Mr. Zagami, how are you doing?
Very well. Thank you for announcing me as a new American citizen. It's, of course, a great honor. And it was on the 12th of March that I was finally introduced into the great American family with the Oath of Allegiance. And after answering a very thorough interview, because usually it goes on for maybe 20 minutes, for me it was about an hour. And it was regarding all kinds of fascinating aspects of my life I didn't really imagine they could be interviewing me on, including secret societies, lodges, and so on, and of course also my aristocratic background. So in the end, I guess I made it. Maybe such questions were not answered since the time of Benjamin Franklin, as you know. Maybe at that time the aristocrats, the English aristocrats, were not so popular over here. I guess that maybe we still have some problems with that. So they wanted to make sure I didn't have some kind of British aristocratic title connected to me, so on.
Can you tell us some of what they're asking, or would you rather not?
Yeah, no, it was mainly based on my family's history to just verify also all my connections with the British royal family, and also possible heirdom to maybe some title or something, which I don't have. I wish I did, but I don't. So, and also, of course, on my father's side, the aristocratic titles from my father's side, which of course are present, but like I told them, in 1946, Italy became a republic. So such titles are only purely a more of an informal thing than a formal thing, because formally Italy has renounced to that kind of background. It's no longer a monarchy. So in the end, it was, I guess, a way also to make sure, like I said, that I didn't have any claims to some throne somewhere in Europe.
Yeah.
I mean,
that is kind of funny. So I think it was either volume 6 or volume 7 of your books, but, and for everybody listening, the links to all the books are in the description. I think it was like a month or 2 months before Russia invaded Ukraine, and I think you mentioned in the book, which at the time was like a month old, how that was an upcoming thing. And I remember reading that and then it happening, and that kind of blew me away. What would you say is, if you can gaze into the crystal ball, what would you say is coming then for the rest of 2024, or, you know, whatever important year is coming up? What would you, just because that was so wildly accurate, that I'm curious what your thoughts are on the immediate and, I guess, you know, semi-immediate future.
Okay, so the book you mentioned, of course, I have here is volume 7 of my Confessions. Actually, I should put the lights here next to my flags.
Hell yeah.
I have a small here.
I love it.
Not bad. I love it.
It's beautiful. Closer. I love it. Yeah, for everybody watching, yeah, you can see these American flags, Trump holding the flag, the eagles from Canada.
We have the Trump Oracle. So let's see what Trump says, the Oracle here.
All right. Trump
and Washington. Well, I mean, that is a good thing. I mean, you know, because different things come up. So I call him the Trump Oracle. Well, regarding what you said, this is the book, is volume 7. This is actually the hardcover copy. And the book was, like you said, very accurate in pointing out the coming war with Ukraine, as well as the coming war with Taiwan, the invasion of Taiwan. The war in Ukraine already started in 2014, so let's say that it was only a matter of time that it developed in something more. But of course, the information that all the various intelligence services had was that they will develop further at the beginning of 2022. So I really I find it surprising that a lot of people kind of were amazed about a war in Europe when I actually have talked about it for many years. As you know, I had been working in Russia also for a long time in my capacity as a record producer and a DJ, and also with the Ministry of Culture on various cultural events. So I had the possibility of encountering a lot of information of getting prior to what happened back then. I mean, we are talking about 20 years ago. They were already talking about something like this, and they were saying basically, people from the intelligence were saying that it was only a matter of time. So that Europe will fall again into a war modality, let's say, that Russia will have to intervene directly. Now, they started to intervene in 2000 and after the Euromaidan revolution, the Dignity revolution in Ukraine, but they did it, of course, in the Donbas region through groups that were not directly representing the Russian Federation, though they were, of course, working for the Russian Federation. We know what happened also with the mercenaries that were involved in this conflict. But like I said, the actual development of 2022 was for me quite easy to foresee, just as it's quite easy to foresee that within the next 3 years, we will probably have the same thing happening with Taiwan. But at the same time, we also need to address, and I think this will be important for your viewers, the anomalies and what is going to happen on a short term in Europe, because Europe is somehow connected to the US, in which we have at the moment, unfortunately, Joe Biden, who is a warmonger, like just everybody from the Democratic Party that we had before him, including Bill Clinton back in the days, but even Barack Hussein Obama, who gave birth to the conflict in Syria, and of course unleashed the mercenaries of ISIS for that reason. And that's why we have seen a week ago Barack Obama going to I think it was a week ago, no? I think it was
Yeah,
maybe
to
a week
England.
ago, I think 8 days ago. In any case, he went to visit the Prime Minister of England, of Great Britain, Rishi Sunak, so they could probably unleash, like they did on Syria, the ISIS mercenary method, which functions as a way to attack brutally Russia without blaming, of course, Ukraine. So what Putin is saying at the moment, blaming, of course, also Ukraine directly, because this is what he seems to have done publicly, it's maybe not understandable for many people because they see these ISIS people, ISIS-K, ISIS Khorasan, by the way, who is a specific brand of ISIS, very much involved in the Caucasus region and with a base, strong base in Afghanistan, courtesy, of course, of Joe Biden and behind the scenes of Barack Hussein Obama. So we have all these getting very upset Russia, which will probably attack further Ukraine. And at this point, things are getting very tense in Europe. In the last few days, we saw a missile that went through once again Polish territory. And it's only a matter of time that we get in a direct conflict with Russia because, of course, we are talking about the Rule 5 of NATO, which is a sort of one for all and all for one rule that, you have to intervene wherever a member of NATO is attacked. Of course, NATO is a creation that brought stability for a number of decades within Europe. It was a creation, of course, of the United States of America after the winning the war, together with, of course, the support of Great Britain, which might be an empire in decline, but still has a lot of influence, especially in this situation. They have been really very much active in the years prior to what Russia calls the coup d'etat that overthrow the politicians which were close to Russia in Ukraine and then led to the instability and the persecution of the Russian minorities after 2014. So in my book, volume 9, as you know, this book explains how the Ukrainian identity was almost artificially molded and crafted in 2 centuries by various secret societies connected to the Illuminati. I describe them in detail in this book, as well as also the role of Freemasonry. Freemasonry was reintroduced in Ukraine, as well as Moldova, which might be the next territory also to be attacked, even if Transnistria is basically Russian and they have already a military presence there. But these two countries, Freemasonry was reawakened by Giuliano Di Bernardo, who was at the time Grand Master of the Grand Orient of Italy, and later on became the Grand Master of the regular Grand Lodge of Italy. That's when they actually, England sent him to Ukraine and Moldova to reawaken Freemasonry in those countries after some preliminary contacts that have been made right at the end of the Soviet Union. You see, in the Soviet Union period, the Freemasonry was basically banned. Was banned because Freemasonry had been very controversial in the history of Russia. There had been different factions of Freemasonry fighting each other, and eventually the faction that gave birth to the Bolshevik Soviet Union was the faction that saw Lenin, that was himself initiated originally in probably in France with other members of the future Russian Revolution, because France is really the stronghold of the more progressive and more political forms of Freemasonry. While instead, Great Britain always claimed to have purged religion and politics from its lodges. And to a certain extent, is true, but not entirely true, because in reality, Freemasonry has also been used by the former British Empire, as well as the present Great Britain and the Commonwealth, for deals that at times have also helped Great Britain in its stabilization when there was clashes between various ethnicity and religions, and at the same time also in other countries. So the English Masonic network is not so innocent and purged of politics and religion as they claim. It's more of a facade, but of course, compared to the Grand Orient of France, the Grand Orient of France is an obedience that has always been political since they broke up from their regularity with the United Grand Lodge of England in the 1870s. So, in my book, Volume 9, I explain how, after that breakup and after the experience of Les Communes in Paris, there was this communist takeover for a brief time that was also very popular and was held in high esteem by people like Karl Marx. Let's not forget that the Manifesto of Karl Marx was itself a product of the Illuminati. So We need to understand that the ideology of the Illuminati is always more progressive rather than conservative, because their intention is to destroy both religions and the monarchies, which nowadays have, let's say that part of the operation with the monarchies unleashed a series of revolution insurrections in the 18 around 1850, which also of course involved Ukraine. Ukraine was always kind of like parts of Ukraine were under Polish territory. Other parts of Ukraine were of course always controlled by Russia. Traditionally, they were basically Russia. I mean, it was always considered as part of Russia. And we have Madame Blavatsky, was born in Dnipro, Ukraine. So that is also very indicative, as Madame Blavatsky was definitely an agent of the Russian Empire, who also dealt, though, with its colleagues in the British Empire and kind of function in a very ambivalent way in her work to expand what she founded with the Theosophy. So at the moment, if you ask me what is to come, I would say if the tension increases, as we are seeing in Europe, probably at one point we will see Europe becoming very soon completely involved in this war. And then once again, just like in the Second World War and the First World War, a full-on war in Europe means destruction, means transforming the whole of the European Union in a battleground. Now, not no ne nobody wants this kind of thing. A lot of people say that's not possible because there is nuclear weapons involved. France has also nuclear weapons, not only the US, in many countries, because we know that there is a number of US bases in Europe, and there is, of course, even in places which don't have any nuclear arsenals, like Italy, there is though nuclear arsenals there by the United States. So the situation is very tense. People at the moment tell me that there is a lot of tension in Europe for that reason. In places like Italy, people are very scared. So this is what I sense at the moment. There is a lot of tension, and there is, of course, a lot of threats being made by Medvedev, who used to be, of course, the president, who is the closer politician to Vladimir Putin, who he basically always offers to the media when he wants to attack the West. He seems to be the more fierce one. But having said this, I think that is in nobody's interest to do a nuclear war. But having said this, also there is interest in having a war that is not nuclear. And this is the problem here, that the military industrial complex needs to use a lot of their weapons that might become rusty. I always said that when their weapons become rusty, we need to become worried, because then at that point, the military industrial complex needs to use them. So we see also the incapacity, though, at the moment of the United States of having the leading arsenal, because hypersonic missiles are not yet being fully developed here in the US, while instead they're already used
At the Kinzhal
well, they're
test.
used by both Russia and also by China
Yeah, China, the
successfully.
DF-12, I think,
Yes,
DF-42.
but we just saw yesterday morning an attack on the Ukrainian intelligence that Russia blamed for, of course, being involved with the recent ISIS Khorasan attack, and it was completely destroyed, the headquarters of the Ukrainian, by an hypersonic missile. And at the same time, people need to understand there is at least 12 CIA bases in Ukraine. So when these ISIS-K tags were running from the FSB, which was hunting them down, FSB is, let's say, the heir to the KGB that eventually got all of them. Well, they They obviously were going towards Ukraine because in Ukraine they will probably have had the possibility
Well, yeah,
of
that's
escaping. Now
yeah.
we know that the CIA for years collaborated also in Chechnya with Al Qaeda for attacking Russia. And let's say that all of the Mujahideen and the jihadists originate from that original war on the Soviet Union that eventually brought down the Soviet Union, because when the Soviet Union got involved in Afghanistan, because of people like Osama bin Laden, the Taliban, and the Mujahideen, that were basically fighting for the West against Russia. That's the thing. We have actually, as this case, a product of Afghan intelligence. A lot of the people who we trained for 20 years, who because of Joe Biden's decision, deciding to abruptly leave Afghanistan, well, at that point they went and found another job. I know that being a terrorist might not seem like any other a reasonable job, but when you are in a country like Afghanistan that doesn't offer you really anything, probably that's the only solution for some of these people. So we have basically trained these people because also we have offered them a future job. You see, when ISIS-K became ISIS-K and those thugs attacked those Marines that were taking care of the airport of Kabul,
Kabul,
right?
yeah, the
One of
13.
the worst moments, I think, in recent US history to see these almost these kids, because they're really young,
18, 19, 20, yeah, 13 of them.
dying out of this brutal attack. We have to remember that those ISIS-K operatives were instigated by the deep state, as we call it. We like to call it in various ways, but the deep state here is, of course, the military industrial complex and certain progressive left-wing elements that have taken over the NSA, the CIA, the FBI, and have weaponized such institutions against not only the supposed foreign terrorist threat, but against, as we have seen with the January 6, against its own people. So we are, of course, dealing with a very bad situation. So this is in the immediate what's going to happen. Putin knows very well that this attack was not just the product of the Islamic fundamentalists, but it's also the product of the Islamic. That's why he blamed the Islamic fundamentalists. When we blame the Islamic fundamentalists, though, we have to understand the Islamic fundamentalists are a product of the West as well as a product of Islam. So it's a 50-50 thing. You can't just a second. It's not only the product of Islamic poverty, Islamic decolonization of Islamic countries, and a reaction to all that, a reaction to the Western, let's say, colonization or taking advantage. There is much more to it, and it's a much more complex issue. So that's why I will probably see you in a couple of months from now, and we will probably discuss all this with volume 10 of my confessions, which will be largely dedicated to Islam. I didn't really up till now dedicate a book to this
Yeah.
subject because I really wanted to discuss it in detail and make people really understand all the nuances, the secrets that might be behind this. This never-ending conflicts, conflict or conflicts, but it's a series of conflicts that end up being a conflict in the Middle East. So today, when we see the Houthi Shiites fighting and sabotaging ships in the Red Sea, who actually depend from China and Russia at the same time, claiming they are doing it because of Gaza, well, that is quite laughable. I mean, it is, of course, all very much an excuse so they can continue with their proxy wars between America, China, and Russia. So, what I have explained in Volume 7, as you know, the Sino-Russian World Order. And then in volume 9, I further explained how this is gonna develop. It's gonna develop in a cyber future, in a robotic future, and that's why China now is inviting basically its population to accept the fact that in the next couple of years they're gonna mass produce robots and place them in each household. Now you see, China has had a very demented one-child policy for a number of years up until 2015 that has basically destroyed the balance. And instead of giving birth and just keeping regular families with more than one child going on, they had this one-child policy, which was brutal. But also, if you think about it, gave them a special position in the eyes of Satan, because they sacrificed more fetuses and children during that time because you were not allowed. I remember once I saw a documentary with the pile of fetuses that was as big as a small, it was just like, it was disgusting. And it was just, and that is really what China has done, and I think that God will never forget that. But at the same time, Satan will reward that. He will reward the dragon of the apocalypse that will give power to the beast, and that's why we see the. And I, of course, also invite all our viewers to constantly monitor my website, leozagami.com, where I post regularly my articles in which I comment on the latest events. So it's China having a very special role with Cyber Satan, a special role that, like I said, now they are implementing the idea that this mass robots production, and you can imagine, I mean, the Chinese, when they mass produce something, they really mass produce something. I mean, they don't talk about it. So they want to start having a robot in each household by 2025. We're not talking about 2030, 2035, 2025. Now, I don't know if that's going to be possible because we're talking about a really large continent, a country which is like a continent. China is enormous, so to imagine they will be able to place a robot in each household by 2025, I don't know if that's realistic, but I'm sure that they will manage by 2030. So that is the time in which China claims that they will have the leading AI, and that's really what worries me, the fact that they might implement really the army of the Antichrist. And that is also, as you know, a subject which I've discussed in my books, Volume 7, Volume 6.66. I think it's very important for people to understand. I wrote three books about Cyber Satan. You have read them, 6.66, Volume 7, and Volume 9. Now, this is a trilogy dedicated to this problem. That also points out on the fact that they use as a Trojan horse for their transhumanism development the fact that sick people, and we have seen a week ago Elon Musk parading the computer brain interface with the first patient, who is a guy who is paralyzed, who can now finally play chess with his mind. Well, it is, of course, a Trojan horse using a sick person that obviously everybody would like to see back, having some kind of life. And I completely understand that that is a great opportunity that this computer brain interface gives. But we know that that is a Trojan horse, that that is not really the intention ultimately of the New World Order. For their computer brain interface. It's not only to help the person that has mobility problems or other kind of health issues. It is much more about connecting them with the machine, with the AI, which ultimately will control the human species at that point. And the human species will become obsolete, and the Homo sapiens will be transformed in something new. So they can finally launch their space mission to Mars with this transformed and enhanced form of human being that it's made to live maybe in space rather than us that are limited to this planet. So it seems like the Homo sapiens is finally arriving to what was described, and I of course discussed this in my books, the Omega Point of Pierre Teilhard de Chardin, the moment of singularity, as Raymond Kurzweil called it, the moment in which we are really joining with the AI and developing in something new, in what Teilhard de Chardin called the noosphere.
The Omega
So,
point.
yeah, the Omega Point, so it's the Alpha and the Omega. We know that what that means also following the Christian parameters of the end times. So it's not really like the Omega Point is.
Not good.
It doesn't seem that good for, of course, for the Homo sapiens, but for them it's a point of it's let's say it's a ground zero of the creation of something new that they have in mind, something that of course doesn't reflect any more God as we are made in the image of God, but rather reflects this monstrosity that will be made more in the image of Satan. It's about, when we embrace the age of enlightenment, we thought that the age of enlightenment will bring reason and solutions for everybody based on reason. In reality, that was the moment in which the devil started to really implement its plan. And that's why the Illuminati were the main protagonists of the Age of Reason. And to this day, I think that nobody has put it better than me in a book in Volume 9. As you know, I explain why this fixation with transmutation, with alchemy, with transforming something in something else. And that's what they are doing. The realization of gold might be for them really merging with the AI as the ultimate solution, but that is not really the ultimate solution. Like I said, the AI will easily take over, and at that point, robots will be working along with cyborgs, with humans that are half human, half robots, but for how long? In the end, it will be the machine that will prevail, because the machine in the eyes of the AI resembles perfection, while humanity is something of a failure for the very evolved AI. And we know that by next year, the AI will arrive to a point in which maybe with one AI you can have a better reasoning and intelligence than the whole of mankind put together. That is a point almost of no return if you think about it, because what are we doing on this planet if not thinking, if not creating, if not writing like me or doing anything, music, movies, everything is coming under attack because soon we are no longer going to be the only ones that are able to produce this. And that's why we had this fake rebellion of Hollywood last year. You remember, I also published a book, Volume 8, based, of course, on the dark side of Hollywood and what was boiling there also regarding the AI, virtual reality and all that. We are definitely facing unprecedented times, and regarding 2030, definitely that will be the moment of no return for some people, in which a lot of nations, including probably the United States, but depending, because the United States has resisted all these attacks by the globalists before. The globalists that, of course, want to implement the policies that we see in the United Nations, but where is the headquarters of the United Nations? in a woke state of New York, in the city of New York, which is these days a big mess, courtesy of these people. But that's where the world government is basically based. Now, people can say that the United Nations are a failure, but they're not a failure in the eyes of the new world order, on the eyes of the people who have created initially the League of Nations and then developed this United Nations. Now, in Volume 9, as you know, I explain how the Theosophical Society was very much involved, very much in the foundation of the United Nations. Right from the start, there was this connection with the Theosophy and with the Freemasonry at certain levels. So I invite people to read Volume 9 because I think that the United Nations have demonstrated that they are the most evil institution in the planet. I already talked about them in Volume 2 of my Confessions, if you remember. But in Volume 9, I also explained the role in propagating the Codex Alimentarius, the insect eating, and all that BS, the lab food that will be mass produced for the hungry masses, while instead the elite keeps on growing their exclusive cows like Mark Zuckerberg in Hawaii, giving them some special kinds of food so they can have the most tasty form of meat. The rest of the world will be forced into eating some garbage. This is quite scary and quite frightening, really. The United Nations also is the one which has participated in actively with their refugee program in the attack of the 7th of October in Israel. Now, this is very important to understand that the majority of the so-called alternative media for the past few months has sided basically with Hamas against Israel. It's scary to think about that in a way, no?
It's insane.
Because I mean, personally, I never imagined that certain people will side with terrorists like Hamas, the brutal terrorism of Hamas. They all kind of got fixated on the fact, oh, well, this is a false flag. This is not a false flag. But we have to understand beyond the reasoning of who did it and why they did it, there is being consequences in the immediate. I mean, you come into my home in a kibbutz or wherever, and you kill me in a brutal way, kill my son, kill my wife, rape her, whatever. I mean, there has to be consequences.
Yes.
And I don't care if they say that thousands and thousands of people died. That is what happens. So if you, I mean, there has to be some consequence.
Yeah.
Now, obvious that the majority of people in today's world, with their reasoning being always a little bit confused because of the constant bombarding of fake news from the mainstream media, they suddenly go around and say, oh, we hate Israel, we hate Israel there, and we have, and then they, of course, blame the Rothschild, the Zionists, and so on. I explained many times, and as you know, also in my books, in Volume 7, also, but also Volume 9, the relevance of the Sabbatean Frankist heresy within the Jewish world. So I suggest for those people to read, first of all, these two books, Volume 9 and 7, because it's important to realize who within the Jewish world did it. Otherwise, we become anti-Semites. We become against a whole race of people. Now, I'm not against all of the Arab world or all of the Jewish world, but when I see in the Arab world, in Gaza, the elementary school kids being brought up with videos to hate the Israeli neighbor, to hate the Jewish people, I mean, that is a point of no return.
Yeah.
So when they say we have to enter in Rafah, Netanyahu, of course, is getting a lot of pressure from America. We saw yesterday the Israeli defense minister coming to the US. And basically, the US saying, oh, you can't do it because there is millions. The problem here is basically this. You know that the moment they leave Gaza, they leave Rafah, they will simply start implementing more brainwashing and inevitably creating more and more generations of terrorists. So, you want to find a solution for that? Well, then you have to, like it's happening, unfortunately, with the cost of thousands of life. And that is sad, of course. It's sad that there is 30,000 people who die or 40,000 or whatever. But if we don't re-educate them, if we don't control their education institutes, then there will be no future for those people because they will be constantly radicalized.
There's no good
So,
answer. It's there's no there's well there is a good answer, but there's no answer that's free from suffering, right? It's like getting a limb amputated. It's a shitty answer, but the alternative is often worse. And it's like what you're saying is correct. It's like there can't not be consequences to 1,200 people getting mowed down and raped. You can't not have a consequence. There has to be a consequence.
Absolutely, absolutely. There has to be a consequence. We still have people, of course, who are probably in the tunnels. They have been kidnapped. Many of those hostages have been killed. When we see the disparity of figures, because we see, 30,000 allegedly, because then we also have to go by the numbers that Hamas gives us, and that is really not that trustworthy. I'm not that, I don't trust the numbers of Hamas, sorry. But in any case, thousands and thousands of people dying is a very bad thing. But having said that, these people have, in a way or another, always covered for these terrorists. And people would say, but is the problem here is that it is an inside job. There is a false flag here,
That too.
of course, because Hamas has been created by the Western world. It has been constantly financed with the help of countries close to you, the United States, like, for example, Qatar, who has given a lot of money for these terrorists and who actually at the moment guessed their leader of Hamas. So Qatar, the Wahhabis, this Saudi Arabia, these countries, the Emirates in total, have participated in the destabilization simply because they are tool of the Anglo, let's say, this alliance between America and Great Britain. Great Britain has been present in the Middle East for a longer time. So, it was because of them that eventually, after the Sykes-Picot Agreement of 1916, there will be the Balfour Declaration a couple of years later that will give, with this letter addressed by Minister Balfour to Rothschild, that will give birth to the possibility of establishing a Jewish nation. But I mean, once the nation is there, it's there. We can also discuss the fact that, of course, this whole tragedy on the 7th of October could have not happened without an inside job from parts of the Israeli intelligence that are corrupted, that are basically close to the labor Zionists, who are basically close to the progressive side of the CIA, NSA, and so on, that is at the moment in charge with Joe Biden and Obama behind the scenes. So they have constantly pushed for instability in the Middle East. And this constant instability in the Middle East is something that goes back centuries, and that, of course, we will not have the time to discuss today, but like I said, in a couple of months, we will go in detail because it is fascinating to show a different side and perspective to the whole history of the Middle East that can then be understood much better. Because once we know how France, England, and then later on the United States, but much later on, because France and England have been in the Middle East for centuries before America. They were already there fighting their wars, establishing their lodges in the 18th, 19th century, when America was, of course, still in their embryonal stage, creating their own country. But it's important to understand that if we want to have a future in the Middle East, we need to understand that the Islamic people have a certain degree of corruption that is in the DNA of Islam, because Islam has a big problem. And it's never really been the religion of peace. They claim it's, and there is a reason for that. And that's why I wanted to work on a book that could clarify this matter after volume 9, because volume 9 explains who are the Illuminati, heirs to the Gnostics. But of course, it's mostly based on the Western Illuminati. While instead, this time we will, I will probably be discussing with you in a couple of months in the same show, who are the Middle Eastern Illuminati, who have been the Middle Eastern Freemasons, and what has this meant for the development of Islam. At the same time, we know that the Third World War will be partly generated by the instability on that part of the world. It's obvious. We also know that the work that I'm conducting is simply to give people awareness and reasoning about this whole mess. It's not about, probably at this point, aside from, of course, offering you some, like I did in Volume 7 and partly also in Volume 9, some small indications on how to maybe survive off the grid and establish yourself outside of the smart cities that are quickly developing under the control of Cyber Satan. And the smart cities might now be only the main cities that are in the hands of the Democrats, but in a few years, the whole system might become much larger, as I explained in Volume 9. We are looking to maybe a future in which the majority of the people in Congress will be simply replaced by the de developing world of the AI. This is pretty scary because, it also, there is unfortunately no amendment in the Constitution that refers to the AI. Because
Good
the
point.
AI was, of course, established now between the 50s of last century and today, we are having the major development of this artificial intelligence. It wasn't in the mind of the fathers of this great nation that suddenly we could have a threat like that. So, but you have, for example, much weaker democracies that don't have a constitution like we have, which is the most incredible and amazing constitution in the world, that are already giving in to all the technocratic side of things. I just give the example where I come from, Europe. Europe is basically merging with technocracy, and it's becoming itself more and more technocratic and at the same time anti-democratic every day. We speak, they have even created now a law for the AI in Europe. The European Union has been the first parliament to move towards the implementation of rules and laws for the AI. But that means they want to control it, basically. That's why they are the first ones to move into that direction. Everything at the moment that the European Union is doing is the reflection of the rise of the Fourth Reich. That's how we see it. Germany, it's once again becoming the Nazi country it was at the time of Adolf Hitler. Now, it doesn't matter if it is alternative for Deutschland or the more obvious right-wing exponents. I'm talking here even of the Ursula von der Leyen, who is now searching to be re-elected in her position as head of the European Commission. We have people who are basically technocrats with no soul, with no empathy, and they are constantly inviting the people of Europe to support this useless war against Russia that will inevitably bring them into war themselves. So, if you have any other questions, I think that the president of the European Commission, von der Leyen, represents the typical exponent of today's Nazis. I know it sounds a little bit obvious that she's German, and we are saying that she's a Nazi. It might sound a little bit obvious and a
Yeah.
bit of, no, but it is the case. In volume 7 of my Confessions, as you know, I explain the rise of the Fourth Reich. I explain Klaus Schwab, who is himself a German professor, just like Adam Weishaupt. I explain also why Germany is so important within the structure of the Illuminati. Let's not forget that Germany is the place where the Rosicrucians came together. Then we have Adam Weishaupt's Illuminati. We have, of course, certain forms of Freemasonry, like the Strict Temple of Servants that came from Germany. So Germany gave birth to the actual structure of the Illuminati and their ideology. Because, I mean, Karl Marx, I mean, it's not like we're talking about somebody else here. We're talking about Germans now. So one doesn't want to be, I mean, I have German blood myself. It's not because I hate a specific race, but the Germans today represent, and I, from my last visit in Germany, I went to Berlin. In 2018, with my wife, it was the first time my wife went to Berlin. I worked there for many years, and I was just going back there to meet some of my old friends by doing a DJ gig, as I used to do in the old days when I used to work there also in the radio, Kiss FM in Berlin, and so on. And I saw how the city has developed. I mean, I probably didn't go to Germany since 1998. That, I think, was the last time, 98, 1998 or 99. That was the last time I have been in Berlin in particular. I started to go to Germany very young because I went the first time in the middle of the 80s with my grandmother, who spoke German, who was involved during the war in intelligence activities, who had a lot of friends still in Germany. And I went there with my grandmother Felicity Mason in the middle of the 80s. Of course, it was still a separate German. You have East Germany, West Germany. You had, of course, the American presence of the bases and very much present. My wife used to live there when she was a child in Germany on base. So, I mean, it was a very different Germany. Then I saw the evolution, after the wall fall, the Soviet Union ended, the Berlin Wall fall. I started to work in Berlin in the early 90s. And so I saw a lot of the developments of this city. And when I went in 2018, what I noticed was the vast presence of Islamic people. There was a lot more Islamic people. I mean, in the 90s, there was the biggest Islamic community that was present there. It was the Turkish community, and they minded their own business. They were pretty much keeping for themselves in their areas of Berlin. Today, instead, it was very different, and it was pretty shocking. My wife talks about it in one of her books about the experience. In volume 1 of her Confessions, she think it was volume one, where she discussed the experience that she had in Berlin. And it was a very good experience because we were in this club, and suddenly this fundamentalist Muslim came to my wife, knowing that she was American, in a very aggressive mode. So this was something unheard of before, and made me understand that Berlin is going down the drain. I mean, it doesn't matter. It's not about the political side, because they are all in it together. For many years, Angela Merkel ruled with the Christian Democrats, but Angela Merkel was herself a Stasi asset, like the new prime minister. So they come from a background which was a terrible background, because in Eastern Germany we have one of the most fierce and terrible secret services, Stasi. It was just like the Gestapo, basically. It was a continuation of the Gestapo in a kind of communist interpretation of it, but there was the same, almost the same people and the same mentality. So Scholz, the present chancellor of Germany, is of course pushing for war against Russia, but at the same time they know that the wealth that a lot of the wealth that Russia a lot of the wealth that Germany has been able to, they have become one of the richest countries in the world also because of the support of Russia, about the from the oil, the gas, everything, all these resources that made then Germany very fragile geopolitically. In fact, it was Donald J. Trump who, during his presidency, if you remember, during his famous speech at the United States, Nations, said, "You have to be very careful about your position." And he got laughed at
Yeah, I remember
the
that.
idiots there. So I think they will not laugh to him anymore, but it's all part, unfortunately, of the Great Reset. Germany itself, though, once it starts becoming more entrenched in social issues, inevitably tends to go towards the right, the extreme right. Tends to want to be very conservative. Now, we saw also the shocking transformation of Germany after the arrival of more than 1 million refugees from Syria. That was something that Angela Merkel, said, "We need to welcome this 1 million, 1 million." I mean, they apparently produced a lot of criminality, degradation in the suburbs of various towns and cities in Germany. It didn't bring anything positive, and it further increased the radicalization of those people, because at the time, at times they're not able to integrate completely. I noticed when I went to Berlin the last time that whole areas of Berlin were in the hands of the Muslims, and they kind of kept the same kind of, it was clear that they were reconstructing their own cities in Berlin. It wasn't like they were arriving in Berlin and embracing the local culture and merging with it. They were actually bringing their own culture as an
Yeah, no-go zones.
almost an invasion of cultures that are external and go. We are invited today to mix with all these cultures and try to integrate in the name of diversity, in the name of equity, in the name of all this bullshit that then in the end, though, doesn't give the results that we want. I'm very glad that today we were able to discuss all this. But let's not forget that Karl Marx wrote, in fact, not only the manifesto that we all know, that was a product of the League of the Just, the Communist Manifesto, which is the political pamphlet written by Karl Marx and Friedrich Engels. But he also wrote the German Ideology, a critique of the German ideology, which became also a very important book, that was addressed as a critic to modern German philosophy, and that became very important in the development of the German thought. Marx's historical materialism concept, the fact that he basically had a view that was at the same time atheistic, diabolic, satanic, and definitely was his shape, I mean, his engagement, his intellectual, philosophical engagement was based on that age of enlightenment, like I said earlier in the show, is actually something that sees the devil creeping in and being able to manifest itself. And between the 17th and 18th century, these global influences will be not only present in the Western world, but like we will see in the next interview, we will do also in the Muslim world. And then it created some big problems over there because let's say that we were not able in the West to protect our Christian values and eventually will become socialists and give birth to these left-wing monstrosities like the woke ideology. But if you think about it, like I wrote in volume 8, it is a product of the Frankfurt School that came from Germany. These people were eventually kicked out of Germany when their ideology was too, and they were brought here. I mean, while in the meantime, Nazism developed in Germany, and we know what happened with Nazism. So we have to keep an eye on what boils in the Athanor, as the Illuminati will call it, of Germany to understand then the developments further on in the future of mankind. Thank you for having me on. And like I said, I will be back with you in the couple of months when we will be discussing volume 10.
I look forward to it, Leo. Thank you. And yeah, send me an email when it's out. And
God bless
obviously,
you, yeah.
yeah. And obviously, yes, of course. Most importantly, Mr. Zagami, official
Yes.
U.S. citizen. Thank you so much, dude.
Absolutely. This is the greatest honor I ever had. It's for me. Was after years of not really having a country, having left Italy, as you know, persecuted. I mean, for me, escaping from Europe was really like escaping from the Fourth Reich.
Yeah.
Now, people might say, oh, but it's not like this. I go there on holiday, it's so beautiful. No. One thing is to live there and to be a European
Yeah.
citizen, which means their own property. And one thing is just to go there as a tourist. I much prefer to be an American tourist visiting Italy or visiting Germany or visiting these countries without being part of their hideous systems, because there was a reason why our father founders escaped from there and came to create this wonderful country over here. Those people never got it right.
No, it's
That
dead.
needs to be clear. So people like Joe Biden and the Democrats, who instead want to European, want to kind of transform America into Europe, or California, the USA, because California is also built as a more European kind of state. Well, no, it's a nightmare. I will just continue to fight for the American values, and I will invite all my fellow Americans to do the same, especially with the next elections in support of Donald J. Trump. So God bless America.
Hell yeah, Leo. So happy. I'm so proud of you. And guys, please go into the description. You can find his Twitter, his website, Volume 9, and all the other volumes, as well as his podcast on iHeartRadio. Leo, till next time, brother. Thank you so much. Take care,
Thank
everybody. God
you.
bless.
Bye.
And much
Recording
love. Thank you so
stopped.
much. Peace. And guys, if you're still watching, podcast sponsored by American Hartford Gold, please go into the description, use that link, get a promo code Tommy or TPC, or text Tommy to 65532. Get a chance to win $5,000 of silver. This right here is 100 ounces of silver. It's about 3 grand, so you're looking at roughly two of them. I have a second one right here. Yeah, and this is my own silver. This is not from them. It's because I actually do believe in that. I do invest in that because I suppose I'm just paranoid. I really, 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 really have to go to the bathroom right now, so we're gonna do it as quickly as we can. Heaven's Harvest, prepper food, 25-year shelf life. Go put it on your shelf so you can have some food during the apocalypse, or when you're drunk and you want some freeze-dried raspberries. I don't know. Prismatic Energy, also in the description, use promo code Tommy, get 10% off. Some of those batteries go up to $30,000. 10% is $3,000. That's not nothing, buddy. And the wellness company. Use the link in the description. Promo code. It's they're all Tommy or TBC. I don't know. Use the links in the description. All your vitamins and supplements and all that good shit. Or you can use PayPal, Cash App, Locals, Patreon, or you can super chat the live show and blah 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 and all that good stuff. The merch, the artwork, it's all in there. Those are all my Photoshop designs. My bladder is going to explode. I have to use the restroom. All right, guys, thank you so much for watching. Much love, peace.